Hey guys, just a disclaimer, the audio is a little messed up right now. So, sorry for the inconvenience. We apologize. It'll be a little worse than usual, but still, obviously, you can be able to listen to it easily. Everything's audible. Just, audio sounds a little weird right now. We're both in different spaces, so we're sorry for the inconvenience and we'll try next time. Try to have it next time. But what's going on, everybody? This is NBA Therapy. We are back. This is episode 16, I want to say. Might be wrong. I think episode 16, the second round starts today, the playoffs. Never knew we'd get here. So much has happened in the last 72 hours. Mostly off the court, but also on the court. We'll get into a little bit of both today. There's so much to talk about with the NBA and just everything that's going on right now. My name is Nate Dizer. I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack.
So when we left off last Thursday, the Bucks, not the Bucks, the Nuggets and the Jazz played on, actually, no, my apologies. Last Tuesday, not Thursday. The Nuggets and Jazz played, and the Clippers Mavericks played. And then on Wednesday, there was a strike. The Bucks were supposed to play the Magic, and the Bucks decided to not leave the locker room. They didn't want to play because they were protesting of a shooting near Milwaukee of, I can't remember the guy's name. It's Blake something. He had about 9 bullet holes in his back, and it just goes back to that message they were trying to spread earlier about police brutality, and they're protesting it that Black Lives Matter. And now it's not just the NBA. The WNBA is following. The NHL is doing it. All these NFL is behind them. Everyone has their support. And the players took a few games off, I guess, just to kind of regroup, make sure there's like a platform and everything for what they're doing so their message can go on. And I love it. Obviously, I want basketball, but at the end of the day, I'll support whatever the players do because I think their intentions are good. And I think they really think about these decisions. They decided to play. I know at first there was. I mean, I don't know if it was a rumor or what that the Lakers and Clippers weren't going to play, that they voted to boycott the season. And that worried everybody. But we're back. There were games yesterday. So everything's back. I'm glad the players got time to regroup. Honestly, it's probably a good thing, regardless of the protest or not, just for their bodies and legs, because I feel like with the pandemic going on, the NBA wants to get this bubble over with as fast as possible because it's not sustainable for much longer. And a lot of players need to leave it because their teams will be eliminated. One team got eliminated last night. I don't, actually, my bad. Two teams got eliminated last night. So that's just less people in the bubble. But it's probably good that players got to rest because the schedule is so brutal with just back to back to back to back to back to back to back games. It's bad for injuries because you got less time to recover. How did you feel about the strike and the ongoing protest?
I felt that, I mean, I just felt like I'm in support of the players. Like, I feel like during this time, like, everyone should just be listening and the players should be using their platform and their voice. And anyone who objects to that, it's just like, I feel like they just don't understand what's going on in the mind of an NBA player who has so much to deal with. I think they did the right thing here.
I'm glad they have that mindset that they feel the need to have this platform and speak up because there's so many people like us that follow them almost religiously. And, really, I mean, we looked up to some of those guys as role models, and it'd be kind of a slap in the face if none of them cared about anything in the world because they're all untouchable. Like, no cop can do anything to LeBron James. You know what I mean? No cop can do anything to Steph Curry, but some cop can do something to some random guy in Detroit. And I'm glad the NBA players acknowledge that. I'm glad they're standing up for what's right and what they believe in. And it's just good to know that players are aware of these things and level-headed. And I'm glad they did what they did. The strike was good. I remember when I turned the game on initially, I didn't really know what to expect. And then every day I was kind of like, okay, our game's gonna be back. And then it just kept going. But no, it was good for the NBA. The games are back. I think all the players still want to play. The plan is to finish out the season. I guess we'll see till then, but it's all looking good right now. And, it's an important message, and people are really upset with what's going on right now, especially people that are black and minority groups. And that's most of the NBA. And if they feel the need to stand up for this, which I feel like they should, then that's totally okay with me, obviously. And I'm in full support of the players on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I feel like this actually, like, them using their platform has actually spread as much awareness as they intend to.
It really has.
Me personally, if it weren't for these NBA players, I don't know if I would still be as invested as I was into this movement. I feel like them using their voice has opened things up for hardcore NBA fans like us and people who just idolize a lot of these NBA players.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell they really care about it and they're really emotional. They're not just doing this like for their image. During the national anthem yesterday, during the Bucks Magic game, Giannis was crying. And you could just tell how seriously invested he was in this movement and everything that's been going on. So none of it is for like public image or clicks and for show. And the players association and the owners, they got it done. They all resolved. I'm pretty sure everyone in the NBA is in support of this movement. Like, it seems like no one is really objecting to this.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that this is going to be the end of it. Like, I think, like, once they get to the bigger stages.
This, like, is the start, yeah.
They really want to start using their platform, and I'm all for that.
I can't wait. Yeah, it's gonna be great to see how that turns out. And it's just good that they're continuing the conversation, and it's a constant reminder of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think if any league can do it, like it's as effectively as a league, it would be the NBA, because not that football isn't like more isn't as popular as the NBA. But a football team has 55 guys, whereas an NBA team, like, you're paying attention to, like, maybe, like, 11, 12 guys on a team. Not even. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, 10. So, it's, like,
fan, yeah. Sorry to cut you off, but the average fan knows, like, 7 players on each team, I'd say.
Yeah, so every time one of those, like, every time a known NBA player makes, like, a decision regarding something like this, it's just so much more well-heard because there's not 50 other guys in the locker room. It's more like a close-knit community.
Yeah, we've been saying this for years. The NBA is at the top for how to market their stars. They do it the best. And it just goes to show with all the followings these guys have. Like, there's a reason why LeBron James has more Instagram followers than the NBA as a league. It's a stars league. It's a players league. And their voice truly matters. I'm glad they're using it for what's right and what they believe in.
I agree 100%.
All right, so let's get into these games. Before the protest, before the strike, Nuggets-Jazz was on Tuesday. That was the first game. It was a game 5. Nuggets were down 1-3. They needed this one. And honestly, every game that they played, it seems like Denver has a different starting lineup. And we said this we said this 2 podcasts ago. We said this before the playoffs, I feel like. But my point was that Denver plays like a regular season team where they just have the same rotation over and over again. And it's kind of just like the same guys. And it's all like 10 or 11, 12 guys play and they have this rotation. But I felt like in the playoffs, things would change. And I feel like I had no idea what Denver's closing lineup would be in the playoffs. And I feel like I was right, considering they changed their starting lineup every time. I still feel like they're a team weirdly trying to find who they are, especially without Barton and Gary Harris. Because, I mean, Michael Porter Jr. hasn't played the whole year. Now he's getting huge minutes from them. I want to say he's like their third leading. I want to say he's their third leading scorer in the playoffs right now. And when you compare that to a team like Utah, who knows exactly who they are, like, Ingles is going to spot up and shoot, and he's going to play make for guys. Mitchell's going to run their offense and initiate everything. Conley's going to hit threes, and he's going to do a little bit of what Mitchell does, just a little to a less degree. Gobert's going to set screens, dunk everything, and try to block shots. I feel like Utah knows what they're doing. Like, they know themselves more than Denver, if that makes sense. And it proves why they're up in the series. Didn't work in that game five that the Nuggets won, but that's how I feel so far. Utah's really impressed me.
I think Denver is just, like, they're clinging on to big performances from Jokic and Murray. At this point, it's not really like they're relying on any type of game plan or a system. It's like, all right, give the ball to our two best guys. Let's see what happens.
Which is so unlike them, which is the weird part.
But and it's worked for two games. Murray,
I'd say 60%, maybe 70% of their offense is high pick and roll Murray and Jokic.
Yeah. And for Murray to have, 42 and Jokic to have 31 with like seven of those being threes.
Yeah. And Jokic had 31, Murray had 42, and they both shot above 60% from the field and 50% from three.
Murray went absolutely nuts.
Murray's been exceptional. Honestly, like, I mean, I love Jokic, but Murray's their best player right now in the playoffs. Like, just straight up.
Murray's playing
their best player.
I wouldn't go that far.
Dude, he's playmaking more than Jokic. He's scoring more. He's more efficient. I honestly think he's probably better on defense. Like, I'm telling you, Murray's been ridiculous this playoffs.
You know what? You might be right. I feel like you might be right. Maybe I'm just clinging on to my past beliefs on Jokic.
I know. Because Jokic is their best player, like, in a vacuum. But, like, just taking...
Because now that I do think about it, like, in the final minutes of the game, it is all like Jamal Murray.
Get the ball to
Murray.
They don't win game one if Murray doesn't hit those jumpers to seal the deal in the fourth quarter to even get it to OT.
That's true, but I also feel like Murray can't set the tone like Jokic.
True.
Like, Jokic comes out with 21 points in, I want to say, the first half. And
yeah, and Murray had a huge second half.
Murray's second half even matters if Jokic doesn't do that. So it is really just a two-man tandem right now.
No one was really doing stuff for Utah except for Mitchell that last game. It was kind of just like a okay game from everyone else. And Utah has shot the ball so well in this series. Every game they've been in the 120s except for this one. It feels like regular season basketball, honestly.
That's the thing. I expected scoring to go down, but it's only been going, like, up, you know? Like, the Clippers just had 154 in a playoff game. I don't remember the last time a team did that.
That doesn't happen with fans. It just doesn't happen with fans. And, like, an environment. Because the guys are, like, getting screamed at. It's so much easier to shoot in an open gym.
And Murray this game not only had 42 points, but he also had 8 rebounds and 8 assists.
Like, yeah, I'm telling you, like, he's playmaking, he's doing everything for them.
Yeah, and I think Michael Porter was pretty solid this game. I don't know if he was too efficient. I don't remember. I just remember he made some buckets where you're just like, yeah, they might have needed that bucket.
He's been all right this series. He's been good. I feel like what he's giving them, they can't complain. What he's giving them in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, except the defense. I don't know about that.
I know, he gets torched off. They just attack him on defense.
Paul Millsap has had one of the biggest declines of a player over, like, the past 2 years. It's, he's still a solid, like, rotation player. But at this point, he's like one of those guys in the playoffs. It's just, like, his minutes go down, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you're right. He's like their sixth or seventh guy in minutes played. Efficiencies are down. He shouldn't have up from three. But it sucks because Millsap, I remember when I really got into the NBA at first, Millsap was a really good player. And he kind of just stayed steady like throughout all of it. He was on that Hawks team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Millsap is like... I feel like he defines what a veteran is. When I think of a veteran, I think of Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
He's 34.
If you're the Nuggets, say the Nuggets, whatever they get bounced this round or next round, I don't think it really matters. What are you doing this offseason?
They're losing this round, next round.
What are you doing this offseason?
Next offseason, I feel like... I'm hoping that this is Jamal Murray's coming out party, and I'm just building around those two. Because me personally, I was a little disappointed in Jamal Murray this year. You know, he only missed like 10 games, but this, just for this season, he averaged 18-4, shot 45% from the field, 35 from three. His PER and just stats that you would think would jump as time goes on and he got more playoff reps didn't. And for this team to be great, they need Jokic to have a really good sidekick, because we all love Jokic. We think he's the top, what, 8-7 player in the league, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a great player. And Murray needs to be Murray for this thing to work. So this sounds like a cop-out answer, but I don't want to overreact and do anything yet because these guys are so young. Let's just look at their core. Let's just look at the core for this team. Jamal Murray is 20. Hold up. Besides Paul Millsap, because Paul Millsap is 34, this team is honestly a lot younger than I feel like people think. Jamal Murray is 22. Jokic is 24. Michael Porter is 21. Jeremy Grant's 25. Monte Morris is 24. PJ Dozier's 23. Bol Bol's 20. Torrey Craig is 29. He'll be their vet guy in like year three, like 3 years later. This team's good. They're just a little young. Murray's only 22. You know what I'm saying? And for what he's doing right now in the playoffs, not many 22-year-olds can say that. And I guess, you know, maybe it could be a fluke in the bubble. Maybe it could be not. But I've seen Jokic do some really, really special, incredible things in the playoffs. And this team's always great in the regular season. I mean, to be a second seed and then a third seed in the West is extremely hard. I like this team where it's at. I wouldn't want to blow up anything yet. I wouldn't want to overreact anything. What about you?
I actually think opposite of you. I think I don't want it to say that you would blow anything up, but I would say you go get a veteran guy. Say you trade like Porter and Bol because they have a lot of potential. Trade them for like maybe a Draymond or like a Siakam, some guy who you can take as like your third guy who's been there, done that.
Yeah, and but you're not getting Draymond or Siakam out of Porter and Bol Bol. Siakam for Murray.
I feel like you could throw in a pick and then you've got. I mean, I feel like Porter is a pretty good prospect.
You're not getting Siakam or Draymond, though. You're getting maybe not getting Drew Holiday. I don't even know. I don't know who the team could trade for is the thing.
I've been seeing Ben Simmons rumors.
They'd have to give him Murray.
You think that?
Yeah. They'd be okay.
I wouldn't give him Murray. No.
So they don't have enough then. You're not getting Ben Simmons for Porter, Grant, Monte Morris, Bol Bol, and like some picks.
You could get like salaries match. Gordon Hayward for like Millsap and Bol or Millsap and Porter. I feel like Gordon Hayward would be a good addition for a team.
What, you think they're going to go to the third round if you had Gordon Hayward?
I think you put a guy who's been there and they're just like, they need that veteran presence who's actually going to be like a good wing for them. Because who's their wing guy right now, really?
Probably Torrey Craig.
Yeah, and yeah, he's what, Craig. Like eighth in the rotation? Like, I feel like they need a wing guy who can actually defend. And Will Barn, we don't know what he's going to be.
Maybe Jeremy Grant. Grant or Craig. I like this team. They're just young.
I think that's part of a problem. I just think like I'm not sure Murray and Jokic are just going to keep developing just an upward trend and just get better when you don't have like any winning to back it up. Like, I feel like
so after 2 years of this, you're done. You're pulling the plug on it.
I'm not pulling the plug, but I want to like expedite the process. Like, I feel like the faster you get these guys to higher stages, the better they'll be.
I understand that, and I understand that the window's small in the NBA, and you want to win as fast as possible, but I don't think just trading for a veteran, because they already have veterans, is going to really change much for this team. I'd rather just keep my assets for like a bigger for a bigger trade. The Ben Simmons one is interesting. I would, if I were Nuggets, I'd be open to giving up Murray and some picks and a player for Ben Simmons. I really would.
I think they need like
give Ben Simmons and Jokic. That's a really great two people. That's really great, and they kind of complement each other. They both can pass. Well, Jokic can shoot. The thing is, Simmons can defend. Could,
but I'm not so much with the like two guys having the same role on a team. And I think if you're Denver, you want to get like a really good 3-and-D guy, like a knockdown 3-point shooter, and can lock up. Like a Middleton?
They're not getting Middleton, though. What are they giving up for Middleton? The Bucks want to win now. They're not giving up Middleton.
I just feel like there's a 3-and-D guy out there that I'm not thinking about.
Maybe, like, Josh Richardson?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, a knockdown 3-point shooter.
Just like a Joe Harris.
But D2. I don't know. I'll get back to that.
Joe Harris plays defense. That's all I'm going to say.
We'll get back to that one.
I don't know. I don't know any moves they can make. And I feel like Jokic and Murray could get better. And also, just, we don't... The Murray thing I'd be up for only if you're getting a guy like Ben Simmons. But other than that, I wouldn't want to touch anything. I feel like this team's good.
I love Ben Simmons. Like, I think he's a top 10 player. But I would not give up Murray. I don't... Actually, top 10, not anymore. But I would not give up Murray for Ben Simmons. Just because what Murray does for this team late game, they would never have that guy if they traded for Ben Simmons.
I know, but just Ben Simmons, you're getting more for him. And I feel like if they just wanted to flip Ben Simmons, they could do that and just get more.
I don't know. You know I'm a Simmons guy. I wouldn't do this if I were Nuggets.
Ben Simmons fetches a pretty penny on the market. You would get a lot of stuff for him. I'm just saying.
I'm hoping the Pacers could get him. Yeah.
Yeah, you hope the Pacers can get a lot of people. By the way, in this game, have you noticed it? But I remember when the skinny Jokic video and the skinny Jokic pictures came out, everyone had their doubts. But I think it actually works. That dude runs the break for them. He can get out in transition and run.
I was telling you about this. It's not going to hurt his game that much because a lot of the stuff he does.
Fine. He's fine. His stats have dipped like a tad bit since last year because last year he was just so exceptional. His assist numbers are a little low for what he usually does. I don't really understand why. Probably because Murray is initiating more what they do on offense. It's probably because what Murray's doing is so great. So Jokic is like, all right, let me let this guy do his work.
Yeah. And
while Murray hasn't missed a free throw, he's shooting above 50% from the field and three. He has 7 turnovers this whole series.
That's another thing. 7 turnovers. And I don't think he's had a turnover over like the past few games during this hot stretch. Like, he's been playing out of this world.
You know, as much as we love LeBron, that dude turns the ball over.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
runs everything on offense.
I mean, I'm not so much like a take care of the ball guy, like, because I've seen the Pacers do that, and it compromises your offense when you do that. And I also think, like, the Warriors have been high turnover the past 4 years.
Oh, my gosh, the Warriors are so careless with it.
I think when you're trying to take care of the ball too much, you compromise so much of your offense. And
that's fair.
That, yeah.
Chris Paul would do that a lot, and his team's never got far in the playoffs either. Chris Paul was like a 2 turnover guy, less. He was so efficient with it.
Yeah. That assist to turnover ratio, which is a pretty overrated stat in my opinion. You combine two of the most overrated stats.
I heard Monte Morris had one of the best turnover ratios in the league. Turnover assist ratios in the league.
Does Jamal Murray average 30 a game in these playoffs?
Yeah, 30.8.
Wow.
More than Jokic. Jokic is at 26.
And I'm guessing Mitchell's at like 38, I want to say.
He he dropped a little bit. He was at 39.5. Now he's at 37.5.
Okay.
5.5 assists.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Kawhi's going off.
The Nuggets are, they're a good team, and I think they're playing pretty well for the playoffs. It's just Don Mitchell's the best player in the series right now, by far.
Yeah.
Like, I know that. It's been great.
I just think they're the better team.
For Murray. It's been great for Murray, but I feel like the biggest story of this series is the Mitchell emergence. This is all-time stuff. 37.5 a game.
Their offensive rating with Murray on the floor is 145. That's out of this world.
What's their defensive rating, though?
I don't know.
That team is really bad in defense. All right, we'll get to the next series. After this game was Clippers-Mavericks. Honestly, not much to talk about here.
I think this is indicative that I'm going with my pick of the Lakers, just because when I see a team like the Clippers, it's like they have the capability to do something, and they only do it like one in every three games. I don't think that's a championship team. And if you don't know what you're getting night to night, like, I don't feel like you can win a championship that way. And part of that is because they don't have the playmaking ability, so it all just comes down to, like, are you making shots or not? And this game, they definitely were. But I would say after the series, I definitely have a lot more confidence in the Lakers, and I don't think the Clippers are this unstoppable force that I previously imagined them as.
They just confuse me, because my problem with the Clippers is that not that they don't know who they are, but it just seems like, you know, it's hard to describe, but their chemistry just seems off.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely seems
off.
It
doesn't seem as if they're ride or die for each other. You know, Kawhi's not going to say much. PG is, he's kind of reserved, right? Lou Williams is laid back. Marcus Morris is probably the most emotional guy, and Harrell, but they kind of need Beverly. This locker room, it just seems like they haven't had time to gel this whole year, and they're still trying to figure out how to play with each other. Everyone's talking about Kawhi and PG together, but as a duo, I feel like they don't play together well at all. They just take turns.
And
do their thing. I feel like Kawhi is just doing his thing, and PG's just trying to figure out how I can compliment him. And it's, I mean, PG had a bounce back game in this game 5, leading score of the game at 35.
And in 25 minutes.
He was due for a game like this. But I just trust LeBron Davis over these two to make it work. Even though Kawhi and PG probably have the better supporting cast, or they do have the better supporting cast.
Would you say you're more high on the Lakers now than you were previously?
No.
No? See, I didn't see this coming. I saw a Clippers team that would go into the conference finals looking like the way better team, and then the Lakers would show up, but I have a feeling that it's going to be the other way around. That the Clippers are going to look like the worst team coming in, and then you're just going to see, like, some games where it's like, oh, it's the Clippers now. But I still think the Lakers are going to pull it out.
Me too, agreed. In this game, Doncic had a really rough game. And not much was going on for the Mavs. And it stinks. It really stinks. And I don't care. You guys can call me haters, whatever you want to do, but the Clippers just got lucky. They just got lucky. Dallas caught them, but Porzingis gets ejected in game 1. He's been out since, what, game 4? Game 4, right?
Yeah.
So Porzingis has missed two games, and he was ejected in the first one for stupid reasons. Doncic sprains his ankle in game 3, had to miss the rest of that. This series, I feel like, could easily be 3-2, if not even 4-1 Mavs.
Yeah,
the Clippers just caught so many breaks to me.
I mean, I feel like every championship team does catch breaks.
But like, this is so many.
Well, we're only in the first round. They still have to go against the Lakers. If the Lakers were without Anthony Davis or something like that, then there would be a real conversation. I don't put much substance into it just because this is a 2-7 matchup.
I know, but that's why I'm putting substance into it, because they actually would have been upset. I feel like if everything, I think Dallas is up in this series. If Porzingis doesn't get ejected, Doncic doesn't go out, and Porzingis doesn't miss those, Porzingis doesn't miss Game 4 and Game 5.
I think so too, but I also like, I don't hold that against the Clippers. Like, wow, like now I'm just gonna revoke your ring. Like, this is an asterisk for you guys.
No, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm not saying that. They haven't even played in the second round yet. All I'm saying is they're really underachieving, and it's just annoying how lucky. It's just annoying how I hate when teams underachieve and then get lucky because something bad goes to the other team, not on the basketball, like an injury or something, or a stupid ejection. I hate rewarding teams that don't play up to their potential. The Clippers should be way better. Way better. The series should be over.
I mean, it's true, but at the end of the day, like, the Clippers did, like, somewhat load manage their way to stay healthy so that they're not on the other side. I guess that it's unfair.
When you do that and you load manage and you basically don't show up to work some days because you don't want to, or you want to rest for the playoffs, whatever. This is what happens. And I normally, all I do is root for good basketball, but it would just be a slap in the face to the rest of the guys in the league if this team wins the title when everyone else just played their hardest every single night of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't support the loan management. I just
feel like Dallas cares more and has played together this whole season and really is ride or die for each other's, and just seems like the team that should be winning, and they're not.
I also think that, like, however, like, Dallas is kind of like Houston in that, like, it's going to be up to them whether they win or they lose. Based on their shooting, and I just feel like it's really on them. I don't think it's like so much like an injury thing as much as like, are you shooting well?
Yeah, I guess this series is probably over, right?
Yeah,
after that last game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Luka Doncic had like a historic game, but Clippers in 6 or 7, I don't think that. They're losing.
If they push it, if they push it to 7, Kawhi's dropping like 50. Kawhi's gonna take over if it goes 7.
Hot take: Kawhi might go cold in a game 7.
Really?
Yeah, but you know what? This is a really underrated storyline. If this series goes to 7, that game 7 will probably be like the first real basketball game where it's just like, man, this is legacy's actually on the line right now. And all that has to happen is for Dallas to win tonight, which is pretty unlikely. But I'm just saying, if they win, all of a sudden we've got a game 7.
Yeah, if they can just push this series to 7, that'd be amazing, honestly.
Yeah, it would completely flip the momentum of the series. Is that all you wanted to say for the Clippers Mavericks series?
Yeah, that's all I got. They're probably gonna see. I don't know. Denver could come back, but. If Murray keeps doing this and Jokic does his thing and it's just Mitchell, I feel like maybe they could come back, but they'll probably play Utah in the next round. This side of the bracket, we still don't really know what's going to happen with.
Mm-hmm. And now we have 3 games. So
after those 2 games was the strike, and then it was Bucks Magic. And I don't...
What's that?
I don't understand what's going on with this series. I just don't. The Magic cut it to within 3 in the fourth quarter. For I don't know why, but that just happened, and everyone in the Bucks is healthy. Their whole team is healthy. Everyone's playing. And
I think the Magic are missing
Aaron Gordon and Michael Carter-Williams, two actually big role guys for them. Aaron Gordon's probably their third and fourth best player, and they're missing Jonathan Isaac, who got injured. And the Bucks are barely squeaking past this Magic team. And not that it bums me out, but look, I just, when we look at other series, most guys, or at least most star players, are in the 38 to 37 minutes range. You know how many minutes a game Giannis and Chris Middleton are playing? 31 each.
Wow.
Why? This series is close. You know what I mean? Obviously, they won in five.
I mean, they won in five.
But so many of these games were close.
I mean, yeah, but if you win, you win. Like, if you get out there and win, and you can get, like, I think a coach would prefer that they play their guys as few minutes as possible and still get out there with a win.
But in a time like this, in a time like this where Milwaukee has had so much time off, wouldn't you want your guys to gel a little more? Just a little more. They're playing regular season minutes.
I think this team doesn't really need to gel like that. I think this team played so much together.
I don't understand how Orlando is. I don't understand how. But that was like 6 months ago. This is completely different. I don't understand how Orlando's in these games. Vooch shot 50-40-90 this series too.
So you're worried about the Bucks now?
It's 2011. No, I always thought they'd lose in the conference finals. But I'm just saying, Toronto or Boston are better than them. Straight up. They are.
I'm not surprised. I mean, this is exactly what I expected at the Bucks. Like, everything I'm seeing from the Bucks is probably what I expected, except that game one loss. And
I didn't think they'd be in these games with Orlando, though. This makes me think Miami could just get hot from three like they did in the regular season and win it and push this game to like seven, or push the series to like seven.
I mean, most sweeps aren't won by four blowout games. Like, there's a few close games just because it is a basketball game. Like, even those series where LeBron James would sweep the Pacers and the Raptors, like, there were still a lot of close games. Not to say they weren't definitively the better team, but
in that Pistons series from
3 years ago. Like, it doesn't worry me as long as you get out there. And I think that the Bucks will beat the Heat.
I do too, but if I were a Bucks fan, I'd be extremely scared. And this is why the reason why I'm disappointed is because Chris Middleton had a great game last game. He had 21, 8, and 8. Not only was he shot the ball, I want to say he shot about 43% for that game, but not only was he shooting better than he has been, but he was also playmaking really well. And that's what they need at their second best guy for him to make plays like that. But he's been so lackluster this series.
Well, he's played good the past two games. I won't hold it against him completely.
Oh, I will. He's shooting 36% from the field. He's averaging 15 a game, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. I think he's a little slower on defense. He's almost averaging as many turnovers as Giannis, yet he has the ball way less.
Well, yeah, but he's a shooter. Once he gets into it, he's going to start rolling, and he's getting into it now.
But I think Giannis is looking at this like, if I'm staying with the Bucks, I need Middleton to be there. And if Middleton's going to do this, Giannis is jetting next summer. This is huge for the Bucks. These playoffs. Whether they win or not, they need to play well for Giannis to stay. This team has to make it to the conference finals and push the series to 6 or 7 and be competitive. For Giannis to stay, because then next year they're going to run it back, and hopefully they'll make it to the finals for their chances of keeping Giannis. But, I mean, if you're Giannis, what are you thinking right now? Because Giannis has been exceptional this series.
If I'm Giannis, I'm thinking that I've got to leave, but he doesn't think that.
You really don't think
so? I think Giannis has a better chance to win on a better team. But I also think, like this team is perfect to make him look like the best player he is. Like, this team is built to make him look good.
That's fair. That is true.
Like, I think the Bucks system inflates how, like, his stats kind of, and it makes him look like a lot better of a player. Like, on a box score than he really is.
I got some interesting stats for Giannis this series. He's shooting the third most threes on this team. And he's making 38.5% of them. He shot a three more than Brook Lopez in this series.
It is astonishing, but at the same time, like, he might be shooting like 8 threes a game, like, that are wide open, but they're also giving him like 20 wide open threes a game.
He's making them. He's at 38%. If Giannis is at 38%, I'm chilling, especially in the playoffs.
I'm watching these games.
He's grabbing 16 boards a game. He has 80 in these playoffs. It's kind of absurd.
I'm watching these games, and I'm just thinking, like, Giannis, like, he shot 8 threes. He made, like, 4 of them. I'm like, great, but if you had an average jump shot and you were wide open on so many of those, you probably would have taken 15 by now.
Yeah, that is true, but for where he was and the fact that at least by the numbers he's improving, I think that's a good sign for them.
Yeah.
Even though his team's got so many shooters.
I do want to get into the second round, so I do want to get through these games. So let's get into the next game.
Yeah, I'm just a little disappointed. Rockets Thunder, the Rockets just blew out the Thunder. And how do you feel about your pick of OKC now? Crucial game 5, they just lost by a lot of points.
I still feel like OKC can win the series.
I do too, but I would really not be confident of it, especially with Russell Westbrook back.
I think OKC just got thrown off because Westbrook came back and they didn't know how much they should really be playing Steven Adams and Gallinari at their respective positions. I think after Billy Donovan reviews this game, he's going to kind of realize, like, okay, like, if Westbrook's out there, we should be putting Steven Adams kind of out there a little bit
kind
more.
Kind of a calm game for OKC's guards. Harden just dominated this game. He was efficient from everywhere, scoring, low turnovers. Harden had a really great game. What'd you think of Russell Westbrook back in the playoffs?
You know, he actually looked good, like really good.
I thought it was tough for him to like find his rhythm a little bit offensively, but I thought he made plays for them in the minutes that he had.
I thought he looked good. I don't think he made a leap in my list or anything. I think it was just Westbrook being part of a team.
He had no turnovers. Yeah. It's a great game for Westbrook.
I think Westbrook just, like, there's a ceiling with how much he can do, which is why I put OKC, like, over them. Just because I'm not sure, like, Westbrook is going to really win them any games at this point. With the Rockets.
Well, if Westbrook plays the rest of the series, in my mind, there's no way OKC wins.
You couldn't see it.
That did more than you.
I could see OKC just pushing it to 7, and then at that point, like, it's a toss-up.
No.
I have a lot of faith in OKC. I think I said coming into the playoffs that they were the third best team in the West. I would have put Jazz 4th, and then, like, I mean, I wasn't too high on the Rockets. Yeah, but the Rockets have definitely impressed me with how good Harden has looked, actually.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, Harden has looked phenomenal, and, like, when he plays good, he actually, like, he's one of those guys that he really helps the team when he plays good, and it's just, like, everything just gets going when he's playing good. The problem is that there's a lot of games where he's not playing good. But if he continues to play good, like, 4 out of 7 times in the series, like, it's a wrap for any team just because when Harden gets going, the team gets going. The problem is that he needs to have a good game 4 out of 7 times.
Well, these teams are competing to see who gets to lose to the Lakers next round.
That's a fact.
Rockets-Lakers would be fun, though. I actually think that'd be a good series.
I think so, too, yeah.
I feel like, honestly, I can't pick with how everyone's playing and the explosion of offense. I feel like in a Lakers series, Houston could just get hot from 3 for like 2 or 3 games and push the series to 6 or 7.
I want to see this because I've never seen LeBron and Harden go at it in a playoff series, and it's
or
just
less.
Yeah. It's like a whole dynamic. You've just got like Westbrook, Harden, Davis, and LeBron, four of like the most like scrutinized guys in the top tier of the league.
You're right.
So you just get to see it all. And
it's really cool to see all these different playoff matchups.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because LeBron's in the West and it's just a whole new dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, seeing Lillard versus LeBron was weird. That was weird.
It was, yeah. And because you don't see, like, LeBron ever play against these teams in a playoff series, you don't have the same faith, like, man, LeBron's going to come through. Even though you know he is, but it's just like back when he would play the Celtics or Raptors or the Pacers, you're like, come on now. Like, LeBron kills these teams for a living. Like, he eats them alive.
We default picked LeBron to go to the finals for like 8 years. So
yeah, simply because you know that he owns these teams psychologically. Yeah, and you just never seen like a LeBron Lillard matchup. So coming into the playoff series, I was a little bit shaky about it. And even with the Rocket series, but I think when it's all said and done, I'll be like, okay, like that was LeBron James. What are we really talking about?
It's weird because this Lakers team, when you look at the rest of this roster, is just not that great. But we still think they're the favorite. So in this Lakers Trailblazers game, Dame was injured. A lot of injuries for the Trailblazers. They could not. They were getting offense. You know, CJ McCollum was scoring. I thought Melo had a pretty good game. But Davis and LeBron, man, they both dropped more than 30. LeBron got 36, 10, and 10. They both shot over 70% from the field. And with both those guys, Davis had, 40, 42? And when both those guys are clicking, especially without Damian Lillard, Portland really couldn't do anything. Oh, Davis had 43, actually, my bad.
This was absurd because literally it just felt like LeBron 80 on the floor. One of the best duos in NBA history, it looked like tonight, you know?
They played like, so well together.
Like, it felt like for one of the, like, the few times this year, it's like, this duo is a match made in heaven.
Like, really? I felt that way all season.
I didn't feel the same way, because I felt like there was a lack of shooting there. But after this game, you know, they both made four threes, like, each. And it just felt like, okay, like, you can't stop them on all three levels, and they're finding each other. Like,
yeah. When LeBron's shooting it well from three, he's the scariest player of all time.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis was shooting.
Terrifying.
What did he shoot, 4 for 6 from three?
Let me check. Yeah, 4 for 6.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
As soon as the game started, Davis was hitting shots. Like, right off the tip.
Yeah, and you know the rule, when LeBron drops 30, they're not losing, so.
Yeah, I actually think without Lillard, Portland played as good as a game as they could have. And it just, the Lakers are just better.
I think part of that is because they've been playing like their feet are just getting heavy because they've been playing so many games and they've got that rest from the strike. So they were a bit more energized for this game.
Lakers took over for that fourth quarter.
Yeah. And, you know, I was one of those guys who thought Portland could have been like a threat to the Lakers. I still picked the Lakers in five.
Yeah, you know, this one could have been a threat.
And it just, LeBron just shows up when he has to.
He's the best playoff player in the league. He's the best player in the league. And I understand Kawhi's great. I understand Kawhi puts up this amazing numbers. We talk about making people better, making others better. Not many guys can take a team like this, add water, stir, and now they're a finals threat. And it's all LeBron James.
He's averaging 27, 10, and 10 on 60% from the field and 46 from three. I like it this year because I think that when LeBron's scoring less and he's just like getting the ball to his teammates and finding like a flow in the offense, I think that's when LeBron teams are at their best. So,
yeah, the biggest reason that that 2018 team reached the finals, obviously, is because LeBron went up a level on offense, but it's because he got those guys like JR and Jeff Green and all the role guys and Clarkson. He got them so many open threes that it was just a matter of time until they started making them.
Yeah, and
he created so much for that team the whole series.
The thing about this game is that I'm pretty sure that Kuzma and Danny Green were like 1-for-10 from three, so it's not like they were phenomenal or anything, and they don't.
The Lakers
have to
aren't
be.
Even. Yeah, the only reason, like I said, the only reason they won this game is because LeBron and Davis were the best players on the court.
And now I'm starting to think that there's multiple ways the Lakers can win a game. With like, I didn't think there was a dynamic where you could have LeBron and AD just account for all the team's points. I never saw anything like this. And now that I've seen it there, like them just combining for 80 points, I'm like, okay, this can happen.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me a little bit during the finals last year where Klay and Steph were getting like 30 a night.
It does,
and
yeah.
They were just like, Steph would get like 35, Klay would get like 30, and that was like 60, and that was 65 points. And then they'd work together, piece together like 30 more, where it just Iggy gives you 7, Dre gives you 8 or 9, you know what I mean? That's what it feels
like.
Yeah.
I feel like they're actually finding their identity at the perfect time, mm-hmm. which is like, everything
yeah.
seems like it's coming together. Maybe it's the luck of the draw because they did face a bad defense, but it's just a good confidence booster. I really do like this team now.
Well, they're probably going to play a bad defense in the next round. That's going to be so interesting to see this team, for how big the Lakers are, play Houston.
I think Westbrook hurt them so much in that series.
That's going to be such a fun series. Why is
Westbrook,
that?
Westbrook lets them put their center out on the floor, or a big man on the floor for the Lakers, and
that's
it's not going to bode well. Yeah.
I
Without
think it's
Westbrook,
funny how...
you would have to take out JaVale or take out Dwight, take out one of those guys, and really just put out like 80 at the 5, which he hates, like Morris at the 4, and I don't think
and
that's
Green,
the other strength.
Or something, or yeah. Kuzma at the 4, whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
I think it's funny how everyone was picking Portland up to the Lakers, and now the Lakers are the only ones who have finished the series in 5. Every other West series has gone more than 5 games. I just think that's funny. When everyone was
really?
Picking Portland to win.
Oh yeah, you're right, yeah. It's also funny how the one East series that we thought would be a sweep didn't end up in a sweep.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Proves how unpredictable the playoffs are. How did you feel about... I mean, the last time the Lakers were in the second round was, what, 2011? 2012? Around that range?
Yeah, 2012, I want to say.
That's crazy. It's weird. It's weird seeing the Lakers. And honestly, it's kind of refreshing to see the Lakers back in contention, especially when they have one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, you've got Bron, the biggest brand, the Lakers, the biggest branded team. I mean, the NBA loves this right now.
Yeah, for sure. They wouldn't have wanted Portland winning this series would not have been good for the NBA.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
LeBron losing before the finals is bad for the NBA.
We're going to go through this run. Hopefully, we can say LeBron. Hopefully, we can say he beat Lillard in the first round, Harden and Westbrook in the second round. And then he'll have beat the Clippers with Kawhi and PG in the third round. And then get to the finals. We'll see what that offers. We think Celtics. Some people say Bucks. But, I mean, we'll see who he plays there. But it's really going to be a historic run in the West, which is going to eliminate that narrative. And I think if he really just, like, if he wins a title this year, I think the narrative is over.
So you're making it's just over. No more talk about – no more goat talk. It's just over.
No, I think he just gets the edge, but then at that point, I think like he's still going in his career, right?
Mm.
I think at that point, like the majority actually believes, like of people who actually know basketball, at that point, they believe LeBron is better, the majority, a slight majority. And then he can't go downhill from there because he's only going to keep producing, you know? So I think that's
exactly.
When it's just done. Like, as soon as he just eclipses him by a slight bit.
I'll always feel he's the best player of all time. I felt that way probably since 2018. But, I mean, people have interpreted this talk in so many different ways. And I just think it'll never really end.
I think that if he loses in the finals this year, after going through the West, I think there's some question there. Like, I think at that point, like, I'm not so much with the finals losses narrative, but I think if he gets through like a harder path in the West and then loses to like an easier team in the East, I'm kind of confused at that point. Is there something really here?
That would be weird. Most people, if the Lakers were in the finals, would probably put them as the favorite.
Exactly. So if he loses in the finals, I don't know where I stand.
We'll see. We'll see. The second round is just about to begin today.
You're right. Side note,
really quickly, how do you feel about Chris Paul's play in the playoffs? I just want to know how you feel about this.
You know what? I thought he'd be like a new person. I'm not surprised. I just expected him to be like a new Chris Paul, and he's just the same Chris Paul.
He's not disappointing me, but I feel that he can play better, and they could have won. They could have stole one more of these games.
Yeah, it's like
he's only averaging 4 assists. It's weird.
Like Westbrook with the Rockets, like if Westbrook like was averaging like 30, like 5 and 5 with the Rockets, like getting all in the paint, like you're like, okay, like I saw this in the regular season, I'm not surprised. But then if he just went back to his Thunder self, you're like, all right, I saw that like the past like 6 years, I'm not surprised about that either. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Chris Paul. Yeah.
I just love that dude, and it'll suck. It sucks to see him if he's going to lose in this first round again. Obviously, I want my pick to be right, and I want to have more right picks than you, and I clinch it if Houston wins.
I think OKC's winning.
But this is the big series that's riding on. I mean, who knows? Maybe Denver can come back. Anyway, so about the last game. We just got through the Lakers.
The last time Harden had a 3-2 lead, he blew that. Uh-oh. And then last time against the – was it the Clippers? Oh, no, he came back that one.
No, he came back 3-1.
He was on the bench for that one, though, so
I don't know. But he was on the bench for game 6 when he was totally checked out. And then who was it? Gerald Green and, like, Corey Brewer came in and, like, Josh Smith and hit a bunch of threes or something like that.
I think because there's no, like, real statistical substance to it, people don't really account for, like, man, like, how did your team look when you were off the floor, you know? And I actually account for that, and like no one ever mentions that game as, man, like that's a mark on Harden's legacy, when it really is. And
oh yeah, it is.
The Clippers point out, like,
that game was done, that game was over. The Clippers should have been in the Western Conference Finals, and it just broke down.
Yeah,
Harden was done, towel over his head, he was checked out, he was done. And I love Harden, but you know, He's got a lot of playoff marks in there. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of lumps.
Actually, I was just thinking, something just popped in my mind, and it sounds outrageous, but both Harden and Paul George have made the conference finals as the best player, and they've also just like had a lot of like mishaps. I know Harden's obviously the better player. It just,
where are you going at?
I don't know. It just popped in my mind, so I just said, I don't really know where I'm going with this. But they were both the best player on a conference finals team and lost in 7. And then they've just had a lot of...
Was Indiana up 3-2 in that series or no?
No.
They were never, right?
No.
It did go to 7. Yeah. It's interesting because when Paul George and Harden were there, it seemed like during both those series, it was as if going into the series, I was like, Warriors are going to win. Not blow them out because Houston was so good that year, but I was like, Warriors are going to win. Miami's going to win. And then during those series, Paul George and Harden both made you believe that their team could actually win. And it really got close there for a second, but eventually the greater teams pulled it out.
Yeah. I do want to get into the second round now.
Yeah, we can't really preview much in the West because, you know, I don't know how two of these series could go. I'm pretty confident the Clippers are winning. Nuggets, I don't know if, I feel like they could get back in this game and just force a game 7. And if Clippers can force a game 7, honestly, if any of these teams can force a game 7, it's a toss-up with this bubble and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
In these open gyms. Celtics-Raptors play today. They actually play in about 3 hours. is Kyle Lowry good for this game, or
yes,
is
he's
he
playing.
Questionable?
He's playing.
He's playing. Okay, Kyle Lowry's playing. Because I noticed that in Game 5 of the Nets series, and I was like, whoa, this is big.
So we've got a good
this
series
is really
now.
Big.
We've got a good series
so,
now.
This is what we got. Now, this is what I want to see. What are your thoughts right now on where this series is going to go, Celtics-Raptors?
I think Boston in six.
This series is going to be so fun. I don't know why everyone's discounting Toronto for some reason. I actually feel they could win this series, and I wouldn't be shocked at all. I wouldn't even be surprised.
Really? I'm hearing more that Toronto's going to take this series. I've also heard that that Toronto in that game in the bubble against the Celtics, that they kind of held back like their whole game plan, which I wouldn't be surprised that they did.
Nurse,
but that
kind of
changed
like
my mind, and now I'm starting to think, like, could the series go seven? Still have Boston.
I picked Boston in seven.
Also, I think the series is literally going to come down to the coaches. I think whoever wins the series is the better coach. I think it's a straight up like coach duel. Like, who's going to out-coach the other?
Dream like, coaching matchup.
Yeah, these are my two favorite.
See a lot
coaches.
Of coaching highlights. We'll see a lot of coaching highlights in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're really going to see a lot of defenses just being thrown out there. Like, I think Toronto could take game one.
Yeah.
But I think game one is a really big indicator of who wins the series. Because I think whoever gets game one is just like, all right, we've only got to win like four of our next five or six, I mean, three of our next five or six.
Yeah. Really? You think that? See, I'm going the other way. I think game one, a lot of people overreact to. Like in that Portland series.
Maybe, but I think these teams are also two
Orlando.
Teams who know who they are, which is why game one
right.
is more important.
In this series, it's a little different. I still feel that game one is not a huge indicator.
For the series, because I feel like these teams like know who they are, so they're just coming out the gate like, this is what we are. Like,
this is going to be such a fun series, just for the reason that everyone, it's weird, because even with the struggles, I still would say Milwaukee is probably the favorite of like the consensus, even though I think they're the third best team in the East. I think, I said this before, whoever wins the series is going to the finals, barring some crazy injury. The best five players in this series are Tatum, and I'll try to put them in order. Tatum, you'll probably have a different one, but Tatum, Lowry, Siakam, Kemba, Jaylen Brown, around that order, something like that. That's a great top five in a series for a second round.
Yeah, that really is a great.
All those
top
guys are
five.
All-star caliber players.
I also think though that the casual fan won't enjoy it as much because you don't have an actual top five player in the series.
That's what I'm saying. The series is that's why I like the series, because there's no LeBron, Kawhi, or Giannis in it, which is going to happen in the second round, most likely when the Clippers win. There's going to be a top three, top four player in every series. Except for this one, there's not even a top five player.
Yeah.
It'll be really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really fun to watch. And that's why I think any team can take it. Because there's no one.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto took it. But Boston is my pick. And I'm just staying with them.
Obviously, I'm sticking with Boston, too. And everything. But as much as I love Tatum, he's not going to be like, guys, I'm winning the series. And then just win it. You know what I mean? Especially in the second round against the defending champs. How do you feel about Kawhi's last playoff run if this Raptors team makes it to the finals?
I mean, that's what I felt last year. I felt like this Raptors team was so good. I thought Curry was so overwhelmed, and no one believed me. I thought this Raptors team was, like, historically good, and it just, like, it wasn't just an anomaly. Like, I genuinely, like, believed, like, you had Lowry, Siakam, Gasol. Like, you had a bunch of really good guys. I don't know. I'm not surprised, because I had Toronto picked as in the beginning of the season, as my finals favorite to get to the finals from the East. I wouldn't say that anymore, but in the beginning of the season, Boston, they were my favorite. So I always felt like Kawhi had a lot of help with this team. And Steph Curry, just there's a whole thing with Steph Curry that I don't want to get into now, but I think you know what I would want to say.
Yeah, I've always felt this way about the finals last year. Just that it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. The Raptors were so better. Were so much better than the Warriors team that just broke down. And it really sucked because I thought if Klay just doesn't tear his ACL and he keeps playing the way he plays and they force the game seven, as NBA fans, we really missed out. That would have been an awesome game seven, I feel like. And we didn't have a game seven in the finals since 2016.
Yeah, no, that would have been great.
And it was annoying, man. It really sucked because we had two A-listers in Kawhi and Curry going at it. We've got two A-listers as the second best players on teams in Klay and Lowry going at it. Then you have Draymond, Siakam lurking, Gasol. That would have been amazing. That really would have been amazing.
Yeah, it would have.
And we missed out. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen in that case again where there's an injury. But Toronto's really good, man. Really good. And I know Siakam is better since last year, but I feel like Gasol is also worse.
If Toronto gets to the finals, how do you feel about Kawhi's run?
I mean, I'm with you. I feel the same way. I never bought into that Kawhi was having this legendary playoff run and was beating everyone when he was so undermanned with his Toronto team. Because we were accustomed to seeing LeBron just kill this Toronto team every time. And, you know, Toronto got a lot of great play. Like, Norman Powell played well. Lowry had one of his best post. Lowry probably had his best postseason. Siakam emerged, had 30 or 22 or 28 in a finals game. Ibaka was great in some of these game sevens. He was great in that game seven against Philly. You put Gasol on your All-NBA team. So this whole team played so well together, and Nick Nurse was an amazing coach. They look like a championship team to me. It's just the Warriors were... They look like a championship team to me. It's just the Warriors were so much better than everyone for the last 3 years that I would default pick the Warriors if they were healthy. The Toronto team was really good, and I thought that year they were undoubtedly the second-best team in the league, at least in my opinion.
Why do you have Kawhi over Steph then?
For my All-NBA teams?
Yeah.
And it's only one reason. Kawhi never had a bad series. I thought Steph Curry had a bad series for how Steph Curry plays. I thought Steph Curry just... Kawhi's four series in the playoffs, I thought, just were better than Steph's four combined because of the Houston series. That was the only series where I was like, Steph Curry's not playing like Steph Curry. I never said that about Kawhi throughout the whole postseason run.
That was also with Kevin Durant.
Stayed steady and beat everyone.
That was also with Kevin Durant messing up some stuff there.
Stop.
Well, people can't see that, and I don't know how people don't see that.
Why do you blame Durant for Curry, like, individually struggling?
Because he messed up the flow of the offense. I feel like you have Durant bias. Like, if this was Westbrook, you would acknowledge it.
I don't. It's just, I put it as, you know, so what am I supposed to do? Just not count it and be like, it's all right that Curry struggled because it was Durant's fault. That's what I'm supposed to do? I guess we just interpret it a different way. We have to disagree. We have to agree to disagree.
All right, we'll agree to disagree there. Let's get into Milwaukee, Miami.
Yeah. So I want to say, let me pull up the NBA schedule. You can go first. How do you feel? Because I know you picked Indiana to come out this series, or not this series, but I know you picked Indiana to make it to this series. How do you feel? Yeah, that's right. Heat and the Bucks play tomorrow at 6:30. Easter time. How do you feel about the Heat in this series?
Do you want me to get my prediction for the series, or What do you want me to say? I mean, I think that he...
Yeah, give me a prediction.
I think the Heat, like, I think if they hadn't played the Bucks so much in regular season, they'd be fine. But they played them so much, I feel like the Bucks are going to figure them out pretty soon within, like, the middle of the first game. So I think it's going to be...
Hopefully, yeah. Justin Middleton will play more than 31 minutes a game.
Bucks in five.
Yeah. That's probably where I'm going. Just, they're the best player in the series by far to me.
I agree with you, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Giannis is going to overwhelm Butler and Adebayo. Like, I think everything Butler and Adebayo do well, like, Giannis is like, all right, like, give me a break. Like, I'm Giannis.
Giannis is so good. I just think that it'll be... I think what makes this really interesting is that Miami has so many different dudes to throw at Giannis. Let's think about it this way. They have Crowder to put on him. Butler, Adebayo. Who else am I missing? I mean, they can give Derek Jones some time on him. I feel like they have so many bodies to throw at Giannis. And that's why I feel so great about Boston, but also particularly Toronto against this team. I feel that if Milwaukee plays Toronto in this series, this is weird. I think the Bucks, not the Bucks, I think Boston is going to the finals, but I think that if I would feel any team that's more confident to beat the Bucks, it's Toronto. I feel like they figured out Giannis last year.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
I feel like Toronto was more guys to throw at Giannis. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. We agree.
I know exactly. Yeah, we think the same way about that kind of stuff.
Ibaka,
yeah.
Gasol, Siakam, they have so many dudes to throw at Giannis. Boston has Brown and Tatum, but Brown and Tatum have to make up most of their offense. Gasol could score 8 points a game, and the Raptors would be fine, thrive.
So what's your pick for the series?
Before last, when we did our predictions, I picked Bucks in five, and I'll stick with it. I'm not going to change anything.
Yeah, I'm thinking Bucks in five, too.
Probably around there. I think the Heat can steal a game because they can just get really hot from three. I think, though, that a lot of these games will be close. I really do believe that. And they had a really good game during the bubble, Miami and...
I think you're going to see a lot of clutch slumps or struggles from the Heat.
I'll definitely be watching Chris Middleton very closely this series.
Who's guarding Chris Middleton?
Probably Butler,
right?
Yeah, you put Bam on. Actually, you know what? They might put Jay Crowder on him.
And then you got Bledsoe on Dragic. And then Wesley Matthews on Duncan Robinson. I think the Bucks got this.
Wes Matthews, I can guarantee, is guarding Duncan Robinson. I can guarantee you that.
And Lopez is sitting in the paint. Lopez is sitting in the paint, getting ready to swat Jimmy Butler's shots. Because Bam Adebayo is not bringing him out because he can't shoot a jump shot. That's really big, actually. And I think that's one of the keys to beating the Bucks, and they don't have that. So,
as much as we love Bam and Jimmy, the Bucks just it concerns me a little bit when your two best guys can't shoot a three. And Philly's the same way.
Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Especially in this league. You know what I mean? LeBron Davis can struggle a little bit, but there are games where those guys go off and Davis has been shooting it better. LeBron's normally at around like 35%. I'm manageable with that, especially for everything Davis and LeBron can do. Butler is not LeBron. Bam is not Davis.
Well, LeBron and AD both had like, they were both, I think they combined for like 8 for 13 from shooting from three last night. Like, I can never imagine Butler and Adebayo doing that.
No. Never. Did Bam take a three at all this playoffs? No, right?
I don't even know.
And Butler's taking like eight.
Yeah.
No, Indiana definitely gave, that series is much closer than what the series would tell you how it was over in four. And I think this series could be a little bit similar to that. Like I said earlier, the Heat are a good matchup. It's just Miami's two best guys can't shoot a three, and Giannis is the best player in the series by far. And I think Chris Middleton, because I actually believe in that dude, and I think he's really good, and I've been really disappointed in seeing him, I think he'll bounce back this series. I hope he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're probably going to see Milwaukee, Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I cannot wait for this Boston Raptors game. This is.
I know. It's at 1 o'clock, right?
It's starting to get real. It's starting to get real.
Yep. Agreed.
It's on at one. Yeah, it's on at one. That's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But is that all? That about does it for me. Just really quickly with these playoffs going, how do you think we're going to look at these playoffs? Considered the bubble and everything, you know, how do you think we'll look at this historically? You think this will change anything?
No, because I think the best teams are still going to come out on top. Like we're seeing that right now. Like, I don't think anyone throughout this has said that's an asterisk moment right there. Like, no. Like,
no. But that normally doesn't happen in the first round.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, kind of, when the Knicks won 8 seed versus the 1 seed.
Yeah, true. Because Miami was hurt.
Yeah, so.
We'll have to see. I don't love saying there's an asterisk until the last game of the finals is played. Also, one more thing. Do you think the NBA could adopt a bubble for next season?
I was thinking about that, but I don't want to think too far ahead like that. I'd rather focus on this season.
I feel like the players are already getting a little antsy being in the bubble. Keeping those guys in there for 82 games during the regular season and playoffs, I think you're asking for too much.
True, but you're also like, they've also, like, I feel like seeing that they've been so secure and, like, they've settled in and they're getting used to it, I feel like they're like, all right, you know what? Like, we played, what, like, 25 games here. Let's run it back for 82 next year.
You literally think guys are thinking that way? I don't know. I think a lot of guys are ready to get out of there.
I think they were a lot more worried than previously. Like, previously, they saw the beginning food, like, before, like, they actually order food. And they
never planned on...
They also thought it'd be a lot more dangerous for COVID, and it turned out to be even more safe.
So. Oh, yeah. They've done a great job. The NBA has done an amazing job with promoting their messages of social justice, with keeping the players in safe. Every league should be taking notes from the NBA right now on how they're doing.
Yeah.
Everything they've done is so great. I haven't checked the ratings, but the ratings, I imagine they've got to be up, especially when no football on right now and the NBA is kind of the only thing to watch. Hockey playoffs are on, but...
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the NBA. They've done a great job. I love what the players have been doing with promoting their messages of social justice. I remember, just a little side note, little story. I watched Matisse Thybulle on the Sixers, the rookie, his vlogs. And one of the vlogs, a huge episode, was about how the Sixers would go about in showing them their messages of social justice. And they had this whole plan that they used a whiteboard for, and they had this whole meeting of how they'd get their message out in various forms, in various platforms. And I think it's so great that players are really taking the time to, you know, get the message out in what they believe in. Because at the end of the day, basketball, we can obsess over it. We love it. We love playing it. We love talking about it. But at the end of the day, it's just a game. And what's really, really important in life is how others are treated, not only by the police, but by each other for their race and ethnicity and what may have you. And that's ultimately what matters more. And I love the NBA players recognize that, and that they don't care if they have to sit out and boycott for a season. Like, they'll do that to get their message across. And that's exactly, if I'm the commissioner, what I want for my top guys. I love that they're conscious about what's going on in the world. They're careful about it. And they just care about it. They're not like, they don't care about speaking about it, whether it'll affect their shoe sales or whatever. That's what's important to them. So they're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. With you. Yeah.
That's all for me. Can't wait for the second round. The NBA has been doing a phenomenal job. I hope they keep it up. And it's amazing, man. I can't wait for next time. But that's all for me.
That's all for me. Thank you, guys.
We'll see all you guys next time. Bye.
Peace.